Riley. Really, Riley.
Really, Riley.
Really, Riley.
Really, Riley.
Really, Riley. Are you ready?
This is the Really Riley Podcast. Woo!
Well, hello, beloveds. Welcome back to Really Riley, my little corner of the world where I like to talk about all things real, very raw, funny, hopefully. I like to connect with you guys and just get into the nitty-gritty of things, whether that's something that makes you laugh, cry, or somewhere in between and go, what the fuck did that girl just say? Today, as you guys know, is my favorite day of the week. It is Ask Riley Day. So this is the space where you get to ask me whatever it is that you want to know. And doesn't matter what it is. I've had some crazy ass things. I've talked about my sex life on this. I've talked about some trauma. I've talked about everything under the sun. You know, all of my favorites from this, that, and the third. So whatever you guys want to know. And you can do this by emailing me at reallyreallypodcast@gmail.com. But normally I put this up on the Instagrams at Riley Couture and at reallyreallypodcast and just ask you and then it's a go. And you guys brought some really freaking good questions today. So let's get into it. I like this one. How would you tell your friend that you're engaged? I didn't really do it in the most like beautiful way with most of my friends because obviously I was engaged twice to the same person and thank God that one didn't work out. Like that first one, it was just ridiculous. Like I was excited, but also just, you know, really not happy about really being engaged. Like honestly, inwardly, I wasn't. And if you want to hear the terrible story about all that and, you know, my journey with emotional and physical abuse and relationships, it's a couple of podcasts down. But the one that worked out and my forever ever with Marshall, who did I call first? So I called my mom first, like screaming. I FaceTime. I tried to, but it was like it, on top of a mountain. It's Sugarloaf Mountain if you're local here to the DMV area. And I called my sister screaming, my best friend. I called her and yelled. Like, I didn't do, like, a whole big shebang because of the fact that, like, I'd been through it. And I thought that, like, oh, okay, you know, this is, like, your second time around type thing. It shouldn't be, like, this big thing. But it was, like, the real thing this time. I don't think I would have done it over differently, though. But I think it is cute. If you have close friends that have been wanting that for you for a while to do something that kind of takes them off guard, because I know sometimes people get this like, oh, I shouldn't be so excited syndrome because, you know, whatever, people are rude and they make you feel like, I don't know, it's not jealousy, but it's just kind of like they make you feel ick about being excited about one of the biggest moments of your life. That's really a thing. So it's like if you want to do it up big, do it. Enjoy every freaking second of this, friends, because it goes by so fast. It's expensive and can also be stressful. Let's see, what else do we have? Oh, speaking of that, what's something from your wedding that you regret stressing over? Because it was very stressful because Marshall and I got married September 25th, 2021, but it was originally supposed to be 2020, but we had a pandemic and then we had Malin. So we had to put it off. But I stressed about a lot because we weren't sure if we were going to be able to have a lot of people in person. We had a venue that ended up closing or the original owners sold it. And then the new owners were trying to charge us like $5,000 more and not honor our contract. So I felt like that was stuff worth stressing over. I stressed about the dress, but it was a custom dress. And it's like, as much as I like really didn't love it leading up the day of, I felt beautiful. It was the design of the dress was stunning. It was just I lost too much damn weight and I didn't have time to like take it in again. But the flowers I didn't really stress out about except for the snafu the day of that my bouquet became a horrible thing. Ugh. You know, I've told that story on the podcast before. We can get into that another time. But what did I stress about that really wasn't? Oh, the veil. Okay. So I'm a very particular person. I like what I like and I want what I want, but really only in the things that I can control. So obviously I can control what kind of veil I got. My dress, as much as the pictures didn't show it, was blush. And I kept finding veils that were like cream and stark white, and I couldn't find like a blush veil. So I ended up ordering like four of them, to which I sold on Mercari afterwards, because a lot of times when you custom make the veil, I obsessed over the length because there's a couple of different kinds of lengths with veil. There's cathedral, which is what I wanted. Then there's what's called royal veil, which is like princess level, because mine was, this is how much I obsessed over it. Mine was Cathedral, that I wanted it to peek out just past my train. And my train wasn't really that long. I'm also, you know, 5'2.5". I'm kind of a miniature person. So I didn't want to be like swallowed in it, but I wanted it to be dramatic. But I wanted it to be just very lightweight and wispy, because I didn't want it to be a veil where it was like holding down my eyelashes and it was heavy. Oh my God, but it was fucking heavy. Like, I literally went through so many different variations of this thing. I was like sending my bridesmaids pictures, holding up the veil to the dress. Ugh. And my veil, because it like in pictures, or my dress in pictures, showed up more like white and cream than it did blush. So I was just obsessing over that when I took pictures of it. At the end of the fucking day, like, all I wanted when I got to the church was to be with Marshall. And I didn't care. Like, I did say to everyone in my bridal party, you have to put the veil back and make sure it is not crinkled. Because I've seen too many pictures of like this beautiful picturesque picture. I think it was Kim Kardashian's too, that I saw one like that when she married Kanye maybe. That like the veil was a nightmare. And it was like, I just want it to be smoothed down. And what's funny is my matron of honor, whom I love to death, we've been friends for, you know, since time forgot, at least like 15, 16, 18 years, whatever. She was so stressed out about it because she's not a girly girl. She kept trying to fluff it and mess with it. And finally, she was like, screw it. I didn't care. There was like a couple of pictures where it was crinkled, but I really didn't care, because all I can focus in on is how happy and emotional and whatever I looked. And honestly, I wanted all these beautiful pictures with the train and it flowing. I took that fucking thing off as soon as I possibly could, because as I'm walking to get these stunning pictures that we paid so much money for, it was getting caught on everything. Matter of fact, Marshall's pin picture of our wedding, not some of the beautiful ones I would have picked, it's a picture of us walking with our bridal party behind us. And a lot of times in photos, they'll be like, oh, laugh, smile, act happy, and it just looks weird. This is the one photo where everybody is genuinely laughing. And why? Because my freaking veil got caught on something, and I'm like, ugh, and I'm trying to smile and still look like picturesque, and it would just, So I didn't want to do anything to do with that veil within 5 minutes of the ceremony. So I wish that I wouldn't have stressed out about that. But I think that that's, you know, semi-normal bride behavior, to stress out about things. And, you know, but in a whole, I loved our wedding, and I wouldn't have gone back and like made different decisions about really anything, honestly. I mean, yeah, some of the decisions I made didn't end up the way I wanted outside of my control, but I don't really look back and be like, oh, I wish I would have changed the dress, or I wish I would have changed the hair or the jewelry. Like, I was, you know, I don't want to do it over. I used to say, oh, Marshall, we're going to do like a couple of vow renewals, which I'm not throwing that off the table, but I don't want to plan all that. If we do, it's going to be me, my husband, a sexy ass dress this time, even though I loved my first one, on a beach in Puerto Rico, just the two of us, and a good photographer, though. I will say that. Let's see, what else do we got here? What is your current Spotify playlist specifically for the gym? I need some inspiration. Oh, so this is big with me because my son's name is Lyric. The gym is always like my happy place. It's my form of therapy. So I have to have a good therapy track list or playlist. Right now, it's not specific songs, because I find when I'm in my mind looking for a specific song for a playlist, it messes up my lift. It like, I have ADHD really bad. So it just like distracts me and I don't get that mind body connection. So I found one that I really love for the gym that's just called Beast Mode. And it was created for me, you know, because, you know, you like all the stuff and it creates it, but it's just like a lot of hardcore EDM. It's a lot of like, kind of like hard rap. I sound so old. Hard rap. Well, not music, that stuff to those teens. Let me not. Let's see, what else do I listen to? I listen to a lot of like nostalgia right now. One of my neighbors actually posted on Instagram that she had like a millennial nostalgia road trip, I think is what it was called. And then some of the other ones that I really like, I look for Deep House Chill. This is beyond the gym, but Deep House Chill when I am trying to either cool down or warm up, because it's fast enough of a cadence in the beat that it keeps you going and doesn't put you to sleep. I also do that like when I'm in my candle workshop, like making my creations. What else? It's called Ilium is another good one. Let's see. NF is in my playlist for sure. Marshmallow is always on rotation. Old School Tiesto is always on rotation. John Bellion. That one creeped up in there too, because I like the cadence of his music enough when I'm doing not legs. I need like screamo or like, you know, hardcore EDM, like whatever. I like Steve Aoki for working out. Let's see. I mean, that's really the rotation right now, but definitely look up like beast mode or even fitness mode. Like I think that like Spotify is one of the ones over any of the other playlists, like platforms that I really, really like, cause it really learns your taste. I feel like, let's see what else. You met Marshall because he commented on your IG. What was the actual comment? I have to go look this picture up. I was doing like a lift with a, it was like a bat. It's a salt battery ram. I don't know. It's like this round cylinder thing that's heavy as shit. And I was doing a lift with that, like overhead, a squat into a lift, kind of like what you would with a barbell. And he was like, "Oh, I see you putting in work," or something lame. Because I love my husband, and I'm so glad he made that comment. But yeah, that wasn't. It was manifested, because it wasn't anything super sexy. I just thought it was cute. Family friend wants to work for me, but their work ethic sucks. Be honest or make an excuse. Oh, to not hire them. Okay, you don't want to be harsh with the family friend. You know, obviously that would cause strife. But that's your work. That's your brand. That's your baby, especially if it's like your company. And for me, I don't believe in coddling people that if they're sucking at what they do. I'm very big into, you know, how you do one thing is how you do everything. And just because they're a family friend, you're like opening up the door for stress and to mess with your money. And I don't do that. And there's been times where like people have wanted to be like an intern for the podcast, and I would love to have one. I would love to spread the knowledge like an inspiration that I've acquired over 20 years in media. But you just know, and you have this gut feeling that you're going to end up doing more work having them on than you would not. And I'm just not about like creating more stress for myself. But I have toiled with this too of like, do you tell them about themselves in a way? It's like, you don't want to be mean. I'm an empathic person. I don't want to crush anybody's dreams, but I am the type of person that if you tell me I can't do something, I will turn around and go do it. And I know that sounds cliche, but I will literally just, it becomes my main effort to prove your ass wrong. And I feel like when you coddle, like everybody gets a trophy, you're not having them grow or learn. And I always tell people like, you don't ask me an opinion unless you want the truth. And when you're applying for a job, you're basically asking them to give you a chance. So if they give you a chance and you suck, you're going to think, oh, okay, cool. This is how it's supposed to be. I did a great job. Pat on the back. No. And I hope this isn't like a daughter or like a family, you know, like somebody's kid, because then you might want to have a conversation with their parent first, because you don't want to mess up friendships for that. But honesty is the best policy in all things. I mean, I don't sugarcoat. So maybe you sugarcoat it a little bit more than me, but I feel like, how are they supposed to learn and excel in the industry that they want to be in if you don't tell them what they're doing ain't up to par? And if somebody has a lot of experience but bad work ethic, I would take somebody that doesn't have a lot of experience but drive any day. So I say be honest. And maybe if they can fix the things, I don't know what kind of business you're in, but if they can fix the things that you don't like or you're not jiving with before you hire them or give them the chance, you know, then it's kind of a win-win, because they learn. They don't mess up your money or your mind, disturbing your peace, but they also, you know, get to do it the right way. Hope that helps. Let's see, what else do we have here? Besides Marshall, what's the best thing you've ever manifested? So before Marshall, I don't really think I realized I was actually manifesting, but we are all the time, no matter if you think you're doing it or not, because the universe always fucking listens. And for me, it most definitely had to have been my job on the Kane Show. Because I wanted that my entire life. I used to tell people, I want to change someone's life the way that Kane changed mine. Good, bad, or indifferent, whatever happened in between, you know, that was the door that opened things for me. So that was the mecca of that. And if I had a dollar, shit, even 25 cents for the amount of times I said that to someone, I would have a very hefty bank account right now. And that's the thing, is the universe listens to your thoughts and your desires, whether they're good or they're bad. And for years, I was just like, I'm going to be part of the Kane Show someday. or I would love that. And I remember I was having a really crappy time in life. My show in Atlanta just got blown out. And then the show that they hired, I wasn't jiving with. And I was so upset because I thought that that show was just it. And I remember talking to my mom and she was like, well, baby, what if this is your moment to be part of the Kane show? And I wasn't into manifestation then or believing in it. And I was so mad at her. I was like, Mom, why would you say that? Like, what? Why would you put that in front of me? Why are you trying to make me feel bad? I'm never going to be part of the Kane show. And I guess, the universe must have been on, vacation that day or something, because not but 6 or 7 months later, I had the contract in front of me to be part of the Kane show. So that was probably one of the most monumental. So no matter what happened beyond that, it really was one of the greatest things that I had ever inadvertently manifested. And, I want to say something about that too, because a lot of people have asked me, like, do you still believe in manifestation even though you had a lot of these, peaks and valleys where the valleys were pretty vast and dark? And yes, it's okay for you to manifest something, lose it, and then manifest something greater. And that's where I believe I'm at right now. So you hear that, universe? Let's see what else we have. What's your favorite childhood memory? I've told the one about me getting into the Nutcracker Ballet and how my mom was oh so proud of me before. I've said that one a few times, but that was like a big memory. Probably one of the like smaller memories that I always had as a kid is getting ice cream with my mom anytime I would get a good report card. Like, it wasn't like now where like kids get everything like Christmas just because they smile the right way or because, they didn't get in trouble in school that one day. I think it's cool because when I make my son Lyric, my oldest, he's 8, dessert every night, he wants mommy's sundaes. And, my mom didn't have a whole lot of money. She was the OG single mom before she married my stepfather, who passed away when I was 18. But she would always make things special, and she would always find ways to make things special with not a lot. And going and getting my favorite ice cream, because whenever we went to get ice cream, like, it was very few and far between when I was really little. But, by middle school, we were kind of like middle class. But I think she was a banker for 30 something years, so she always had that money in the back of her head. So she, extravagance for small things wasn't a big deal. But we would be able to get like gummy bears and sprinkles and get the extras on there. We didn't get Happy Meals as a kid. You got like one cheeseburger and fries. You didn't, and water. Like, poor me, first world problems. Like, I don't think it's like that big of a deal now, but as a kid I did. But, you know what that reminds me of too? This is probably a singular memory that's even better. My senior prom, my mom, excuse me, had done pretty well for herself. They'd financially become stable, her and my stepfather. And I was going to go to senior prom with one of my girlfriends, which is not a big deal. But like, my mom is so old school. She's like Puerto Rican Latina, like born in the 50s. And, she wanted to see me go with like a boyfriend. And at the time I had this one friend who was just a bestie. He ended up being my boyfriend of like 4.5 years at the time after this. But I was going to go with my friend. And like, I had kind of like asked this guy to be my boyfriend, and then he said no, and I was like, okay, well then we just can't be friends or whatever. And so we were kind of like in that limbo of like, were we going to be together or not? And I was just going to go with my friend, and we went prom dress shopping that weekend. And for the like 6 months prior, my mom had been a model on HSN for like the mature models or whatever, so she'd made a good chunk of money. And we were looking at this like really bougie prom dress shop, and I had picked a couple of dresses, and there was this one Cinderella blue dress that was so beautiful. It was corseted. It was like, not silk, but like, it literally looked like it was like not Tiffany blue, but it was like Cinderella blue. And it had a train on it. It had like ruffles with like when the train came together. It was so pretty. I think it was like a wedding dress. Honestly, I do. And just a blue one. And I tried it on, and it was so beautiful and perfect. And my mom, when I walked out, was like, and I wasn't really like bratty or grabby. And I'm glad that my mom raised me that way to know like the value of a dollar. She taught me all about Dollar Tree and Marshalls and TJ Maxx. But I came out and she's like, well, which one do you want? And I was going for the way less expensive one. She's like, well, you don't want the blue Cinderella dress? And I was like, well, mom, that's like really expensive. Because back in 2000, yes, I know I'm ancient, it was like $250. So that would have been what now, like an $800-$900 dress, which for some people that doesn't seem like a lot. That was not in the repertoire for my family growing up. And she just smiled at me. She's like, if you go with Justin, I'll get it for you. And which is kind of weird and twisted in a sense. You know, well, yeah, don't at me over that one. But I remember it being really special that she wanted to be like extravagant that way with me. Because although my mom is frugal, which I get that from her, she is very like, that's her love language is gift giving. Like sometimes she can't give you emotional support or physical support, but she'll give you all the presents. But that was a happy memory. And it's special that the dress was like Cinderella blue, because all these memories are coming up. You guys are making me emotional. Because when I was little, I don't remember this. My mom always talked about it, that one time my mom was on her hands and knees scrubbing down the bathroom floor because she was a neat freak. 7 o'clock in the morning, she'd be with a vacuum every single time. Ugh. I think that's probably why I hate my husband's Roomba. But I walked in and I maybe was like four and I was like, mommy's cleaning like Cinderella. So it was cool that that prom dress that I have such a special memory with, you know, was Cinderella blue. And I have it in my closet still. It's right next to my wedding dress. And speaking of which, I need to get that preserved. So if you guys have anybody that can preserve it for cheap, because I don't want to spend $500 on preserving my dress, please let me know at Riley Couture on Instagram. But it was like just super special because years later, in my home, she brought it to me because it was in her closet for years. And she was like, can I get rid of it? I was like, no. And I think I was like 23 when one of my friends at work that I worked with, she was younger than me. She was like 17. It was her senior prom. And she didn't have a lot of money to buy a dress and she wanted something spectacular. So she ended up wearing it to her prom and it was really cool. So yeah, good question. Let's see what else. If you can only use one skincare product for the rest of your life, what would it be? That's not fair. Cause like skincare is my thing. I would have to say sunscreen because, and I'll cheat, like sunscreen that has like skincare in it and tinted sunscreen. So it's kind of like a foundation, but that's honestly what I wear every single day. Like I don't wear a lot of makeup every single day. A lot of times when you see me doing videos with makeup, I will do those videos when I'm going somewhere, not every day. I'm a lash girl. Obviously, I have my eyebrows microbladed. So that to me and a little bit of lip balm, because I still like to kiss my husband and he can't stand lipstick on his mouth, is my version of everyday makeup. So yeah, because I remember when I went to like one of those consultations for a dermatologist where they do like the screen of your skin and they show like all the splotches and what's wrong with it. And I was only like 29 at the time. And he was like, you grew up in Florida? And I never wore sunscreen. It was terrible. And that was back in the days of like baby oil that you sit out there and just fry. No hats, no sun, nothing. And he was like, I'm shocked that you don't have really bad skin, that you're from Florida. And, you know, obviously it's my good Puerto Rican genes. But of course you're going to ask me what sunscreens I like. My favorites, Alaskan Hydratant Pro Mineral Sunscreen. I'm reading off this piece of paper because I want to get it right. It's SPF 36. It's got like antioxidants and like skincare in it. So then there's also, love this one, the Ilia Super Serum, that the skin tint, the SPF 40. I love that one, but it doesn't have as much like coverage. Like of the two of those, Elastin is more like a foundation. Like people have been like, oh, what did you do to your skin? But that one is more matte. So if you like a dewy one, this is my favorite. And this is a recent one I started using in the last like 2 years. So it's Eucerin Sensitive Mineral Face Zinc Oxide Protection, but you have to get the sensitive one. I don't know why. I think the coloring is better. But it's SPF 35. It's their tinted sunscreen that broad spectrum, whatever that means. But it's blendable tint for all skin tones. I've never seen it on anybody else but me, but it's really good. Apparently it was developed by dermatologists, but it's like $13. The other ones, like Elastin is like, I don't know, it's like 46, but I spend money on skincare, even though I'm frugal. I had that one for like literally a year and some change. And then the Ilia one is obviously like $40 on Amazon. So there you have it. You guys came with the good questions today. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for that. And again, if you have any questions for Really Riley or questions, comments, concerns, reallyrileypodcast@gmail.com. I have to tell you guys about the vision board event because you've been asking me this for forever. And I love these so much, but I said I wasn't going to do as many this year because I got kind of burnt out last year towards the end of the year. I just did too much. But I'm excited. So this time it's going to be at a winery. Just because I don't drink doesn't mean that you can't. There's going to be like little mini wine flights available for purchase. And obviously I'm going to have all of the goodies in the swag bags like I always do. I'm going to have raffle items. But I teamed up with Beauty Boost Baltimore to do this event. So their members are going to be coming out as well. So there's going to be some new people checking it out. And this winery is historic. It's women owned and it's so picturesque and pretty. Like their wine tasting room has green velvet couches and all the walls that are like that pretty farmhouse wood. It's such a serene environment. They've got really pretty like vintage open frames. I'm so freaking stoked for this. So it's May 5th from noon to 3. I have all the links up at my Instagram and I will send them to you. We got this army, already got the information because they are going to get a discount as well as Beauty Boost Baltimore subscribers. So what are you doing if you haven't signed up? It's $7 a month to be part of the We Got This Army at reallyrileypodcast.com if you want to sign up. But also if you want the link, DM me or email me. I'll send it to you. We only have 25 spots available. So you might want to get on that because it's going to sell out. And what a great Mother's Day present. And the biggest question I get, is it just for women? No. I've had several men coming out to these events and it's just fun. And what a great present. Like honestly, you gonna get some if you bring your lady out to this, get her some wine. I mean, seriously, the fact that you would do a vision board event for something that some people think is predominantly just women, yeah, you're gonna get brownie points for that. So I'm excited. Make sure you guys get on this because I'm not sure if I'm gonna do more this year. I'm thinking about it because I think that you can manifest at any time, but I do think a lot of people like to manifest towards the end of the year, or maybe I'll do it early next year. But Mama's trying to spend more time with her kids and her husband and stuff. So if you want to see me and get in on this, and all you guys have been like, oh, I wish I could get to one, please do it right now. DM me. I'll send you the link. So thank you guys for listening. And if you'll do me a solid, even if you've done it already, please like, subscribe the podcast, share it to everybody and their mothers, and leave a review because I want to know what I'm doing right, wrong. And it also just helps the podcast to keep growing. So I love you guys longest. And thank you for listening. And I will chat with you mañana. It's Really Riley.